We've been following through Malachi for a few weeks now, and I wanted to take you back to the beginning of the book and the opening words of God in the book of Malachi are, "I have loved you." And when God makes that statement to the people, what do? They say, "How have you loved us?" And the way the Lord responds to that question is by reminding them of the calling he had placed upon them and his covenant love for them. And as the book of Malachi has continued, we've seen how both the people and their leaders failed to truly honour the Lord. And they did it in their worship in the temple, but also in their everyday lives. Well, today, Malachi is zeroing in on one particular aspect of their everyday lives. He's talking about their giving to the Lord. A lot of people are not comfortable talking or thinking about money, but to really deal with the passage we're looking at today, it's unavoidable. And I think we should be ashamed of talking about money when the need arises either. And the reading today begins with a statement by the Lord: "I, the Lord, have not changed." And to that we might add, "And he never will." It's that attribute of God that the theologians refer to as his immutability. God, by his very being, is unchangeable. Now, even the most stable of us have our good days and our bad days. And it depends upon things like how well we slept last night, what we had for breakfast, what the mood of other people in our lives is like, what our blood sugar is, what our blood pressure is, and what the weather's like, and a whole range of other things. That's us having our good days and our bad days, but God's not like that. He doesn't have good days and bad days. God is unchanging. Indeed, by his very nature, God is not able to change. If he were to change, he would no longer be God. And the unchangeable nature of God is emphasised by Paul in 2 Timothy when he writes, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." God is unchanging. He's unchanging in his faithfulness for his people. His love for them is an absolute constant that they can rely on. And so it is for us today. We can totally rely on God's love for us, no matter what we may be going through. Now, the story of the Old Testament is one in which God remains faithful to Israel, even though they repeatedly become hard-hearted and rebel against him. And in his love, time and time again, he reaches out to people. He reaches out to people seeking to renew them in his covenant love for them. The book of Psalms is one that is rich in images of God. And Psalm 90 begins like this: "Lord, you have been our refuge in every generation. Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from eternity to eternity, you are God." And as that psalm continues, it's really an invitation to see our lives in the light of eternity. And when we turn to the Old Testament and the New Testament, we find that the eternal and unchanging nature of God is strongly reaffirmed. For example, in the letter to the Hebrews, he draws in on some words from Psalm 102, when he says of God, "In the beginning, Lord, you established the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like clothing. You'll roll them up like a cloak, and they'll be changed like clothing. But you are the same, and your years never end." And the letter of James, he writes that every good, perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. That's the God we're here to honour today in our worship. the unchanging God who is faithful to his promises, who profoundly loves us. And the question in the light of that we need to be considering is, how well do we respond to this eternal, unchanging God who made us, who loves us, and is faithful to us? Today's reading, after that opening statement, I, the Lord, will not change, goes on. Therefore, you descendants of Jacob have not been destroyed. Since the days of your ancestors, you have turned from my statutes, you have not kept them. What becomes clear is that Malachi is addressing a people who are seriously falling short in giving to the Lord the honour that was due to him. But that didn't change the fact of his faithful covenant love for them. And in that love, he reaches out to them, seeking to restore them into right relationship with himself. Return to me, says the Lord, and I will return to you. That's the invitation that's issued in today's reading. Return to me, and I'll return to you. And they respond to that question saying, how can we return? It's interesting how often in the book of Malachi the word how occurs. How have we loved you in the opening section? Goes on, how have we despised your name? How have we defiled you? How have we wearied you? And today's reading, how can we return? How do we rob you? And when we put all those how questions together, what they reveal is a serious lack of awareness about how what the people were doing was impacting their relationship with God. Last week's reading, we heard how some of the men of Israel were failing to obey the law of the Lord, and a particular action was focused on last week was the practice of divorcing their wives to marry foreign women and getting caught up in the worship of other gods. But it wasn't just that. Also, Malachi made the reading last week, other things were not right in their lives, like practicing sorcery, bearing false witness, oppressing the vulnerable, and not acting with justice towards people who are going through tough times. Today, there's just one issue under consideration, and that is their giving to the Lord. Speaking through Malachi, the Lord says, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. And the people respond by asking, how do we rob God? And the Lord says, by not making the payments of the tenth and the contributions. Or in some other versions, it might be more familiar to you, not making the tithes and offerings. Now, I'm not going to go through chapter and verse, but giving the tithe or 10% as well as other offerings was something that was clearly taught in the Old Testament. But when we turn to the New Testament, there are surprisingly few references to the practice of tithing. Hebrews 7 makes an historical reference back to the Old Testament to Abraham giving the tithe to a king called Melchizedek. And the only other references that I can see to tithing in the New Testament are that when Jesus is speaking about the way in which the Pharisees were practicing tithing. There's his parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector in Luke 18, where he tells the story of two men who go up to the temple to pray. The self-righteous Pharisee in his arrogance says to God, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other people, greedy, unrighteous, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of everything I get. In contrast, the tax collector simply prays, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The other reference to tithing in the New Testament is from Jesus in his words to the Pharisees. It's reported in Luke 11 and Matthew 23. And he says to them, you pay a tenth of mint and dill and cumin, and yet you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy and faithfulness. These things should have been done without neglecting the others. It wasn't that there was anything wrong with what they were doing. The problem was what they were not doing, and that is they were not acting with justice by showing mercy to those in need. They were not living in a way that was faithful to the calling God had placed upon them as a people. I think Jesus' words to the Pharisees are a reminder to us that if it comes to our giving to God, it's not just a matter of how much we give, but rather also how we live. Our giving as Christians, and by that I don't just mean our contribution to the church, our giving as Christians is one very important expression of our faithfulness to God. And many Christians make decisions about their giving on the basis of tithing, and I'm not trying to oppose that for one moment. But giving the principle of tithing still leaves open questions, and I've heard all these questions from people. 10% of what? Is it gross income? Is it next income? Is it taxable income? Do I have to include my fringe benefits? I mean, you can really wiggle your way out of lots of things if you think legalistically. Or I've heard from more than one farmer in my day, what if we have a year in which our income is negative? That's a very real question. I'm not disputing it. So then the question, you know, well, who or what can I give to? And the problem is, if we become prescriptive about our answers to those sorts of questions, we're actually falling into the very sort of legalism that Jesus spoke out against in the lives of the Pharisees. And remember that the example of Jesus in Luke 21, when he draws the contrast between the rich who are making big offerings of the temple and the poor widow who put in just two small copper coins. And Jesus said of her offering, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for these people have put in gifts out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, has put in all she had to live on. So what the New Testament says very loudly about our giving as Christians is that it should not be done in a spirit of legalism, but rather in a spirit of generosity. And I think, to my mind, two of the passages we really need to reflect upon if we're working out our Christian giving are 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. And what Paul does there as the basis for what he says about Christian giving, he holds up the example of our Lord Jesus as the model and inspiration for our giving. He says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that by his poverty we might become rich. And so our giving as Christians is a response to that generous love of God, that love of God we see in Jesus Christ, who on the cross gave his all for us. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God with your body. When Paul talks about glorifying God with our body, he means with all that you are, all that you have, and all that you do. That's how we're called to honour God in our lives. That's what the people of Malachi's time are not doing. And it's not a problem that we're immune from either. There can be areas in our lives where we're failing to honour the Lord. But we are called to honour him with all that we are, all that we have, and all that we do. Malachi continues in chapter 3, verse 10, to say, bring the full tenth into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this way. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure. This is not modern day prosperity teaching. It's simply the promise that God is faithful and he will provide for his people. And if we have been materially blessed, then as people who are faithful in all of life, that involves us being generous and sacrificial in our giving. we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, it should be a really powerful motivator. Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. So God's word to Israel of old through the prophet Malachi is his word to us today. He loves us. His love for us is eternal. It is generous. It is unchanging. And in the light of that love, we are called to honour him. Honour him with all that we have, all that we do, and all that we are. May we be that sort of people. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for the incredible love you have shown us in sending your Son to be our Saviour. We thank you for his life given for us. And Father, we pray that we might be people who live our lives in the light of that love. Lord, we ask by your Spirit you will convict us of things in our lives that are not as they should be. And not just convict us, but bring us to the place of confession and renewal where we may become more the people you want us to be. Father, where we fail, we ask your forgiveness. But we do not leave it there, Lord. We ask that as forgiven people, we might know the power of your Spirit working within us to renew us. Lord, you are faithful to us. May we be faithful to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.